You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. I'm Rich Liebig, and we got Big Mac over here.
I knew you were going to do that.
I had to throw that
in. I knew you were going to do that.
You mentioned that at dinner.
I did. We were talking. Why? I don't know. We were talking about middle names, and the subject of our middle names came up, and
I had to throw this out.
Yeah, you just had to throw that out because I had made the point, like, my middle name is Anthony, so my initials are Mac.
You have a perfect set of initials.
Yeah,
it makes a word.
It does make a word.
That's cool.
I was commenting how nobody throughout my entire life has ever given me the name Big Mac.
Yes.
Not that I want that as a nickname.
Let's change
No.
That's awesome. DJ Big Mac.
DJ Big Mac.
Yeah.
Biggie Big Mac.
Everyone, tweet at Mikey Costanzo.
Yo.
Everyone tweet at Mikey Costanzo. Hashtag.
I should change my Twitter
hashtag
thing.
Hashtag Big Mac. DJ Big Mac.
To at DJ Big Mac.
Yes. I think you should run with it.
I don't know. I'm just surprised. It seems like such an obvious nickname, but nobody ever gave me that
well,
nickname.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I totally forgot your middle name was Anthony.
Yeah. Well, because you really don't know, like, other people's middle names.
Yeah. It doesn't,
you know, like,
to be
I have completely forgotten your middle name, and you told me it's Moore, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Where did that come from? I knew your middle initial was M, but I didn't know what it stood for.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Middle name is weird because you don't really tell people that information unless, like, they're your significant other.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, do you ever use a person's middle name?
Right, you never really do, except for Bruno. That's what
Bruno.
Actually, that's
yes,
what we were
that's
talking
what we're
about.
We're
talking about our associate producer,
yeah.
And who just ate a whole bunch of chicken.
What I mean, literally, like an entire farm of chicken.
Yes, and while we were talking about him, we were talking about the fact that we call him Bruno because that's his middle name. It's not his first name.
Right, his first name is John.
Yeah.
Just John. And when I was a kid, I attached his second name to his first name and made it John Bruno. But that's not really his name. Anyway, so Rich further shortened it to just Bruno.
Yeah.
Whereas I just call him Jay, which is beyond explanation.
Now, see, this is interesting to bring up. When I remember, like, first meeting your brother, I thought his whole name was John. Like, I thought that was, like, his first name, John Bruno.
Well, that's because what everybody calls him. We call him John Bruno.
Right. But it's not. That's his middle name.
That's his middle name, yeah. So that's the one case where I actually do use somebody's middle name, like, all the time.
Yeah. You know what else is funny is some people in my family, they do the same thing. They go by their middle name. And it's like,
really?
Why? How did that happen? Like,
that's really strange.
Yeah. It's a weird phenomenon. It occurs in, like, some splits of the family.
In some specific circumstances, yeah, people will go by their middle name. Because there was a person in my grade school who I won't name, but she didn't like her first name, so we all called her by another name. I think it was her middle name. But I remember it was, like, many years into grade school, and I found out where her real first name was, and I was like, oh, I had no idea. So on rare occasions, you do only refer to a person by their second name. But for, like, 90% of the time, never comes up. Unless you're, like, yelling at, like, unless a parent is yelling at a child.
Right?
You know, like, Michael Anthony Costanzo! Although, I don't think my mom ever said that.
I don't think she has.
It was mostly just the sound of, like, a belt or a spoon.
That's all you
Italian kids will get that.
Yeah. The wooden spoon you'll definitely get.
Yes,
oh,
definitely.
Boy.
The wooden spoon.
That's universal.
Yeah. No, they like to pretend that it's for cooking, but it's not.
No. It's a method of power.
Yes.
but I had a random topic to start off the show. But
middle
I
names,
thought,
yeah.
I thought, there you go. That should be your new DJ name, DJ Big Mac.
Sure.
Everyone tweet at Mike Costanzo, hashtag DJ Big
Mac. Well, I'm going to call you Rimmel then.
Yeah, it doesn't really work for me.
Your initials don't make anything.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't really work out.
Yeah. It's just like mumbling.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Somebody who's not pronouncing their vowels.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. What a good tangent to start off the show on.
Well, we said whatever, right?
Yeah, that is part of the show. You never know what tangent we will go on. Before we dive into the week's headlines that we have prepared and that we want to talk over with you, we'd like to do a little recap as to what we've been up to since the last show. So, Mike, anything interesting going on besides your new DJ name?
Besides my new DJ name, I recently finished watching House of Cards Season 3.
Yes!
It's been a long time coming. I started this series the first day that it came out, and I finally finished it. Oh, my God. I mean, I've known it's amazing for a long time, but actually having seen it all the way through to its completion, I'm just blown away by how addicting it is, how intriguing the characters are, and the depths to which these characters will sink to get what they want. And there it is. I love that theme.
Yes.
I love it. I'm like addicted to it. I've been listening to it on a loop on Spotify.
It's actually kind of like good music to listen to, like while you're working on a project or something.
It definitely is. It definitely
adds to the mood.
It does. It does. I love every aspect of the show. And the music is so great, so ominous too, and foreboding. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but like an event happens at the end of season 3, and I'm just like, I'm heartbroken over it, and I'm still being affected by it. Like every time I think about it, I just get so angry. But that's what makes it so good.
So are you in perfect timing to watch season 4 when it comes out the first week of March?
Yeah, and I'll be finished in 2018 sometime.
Thanks, Netflix.
Thanks, Netflix.
Thank you, Netflix. Where's our royalty check? We just mentioned free, you know, we both love House of Cards.
It's funny because I'm also talking about one later in the show.
Oh, interesting.
A Netflix show. All I do is talk about Netflix. They still have not sent any promo money our way.
Damn it, Netflix. Speed that.
I don't know why we signed that deal with them. It's such a one-sided deal. They're like, you're going to talk about us nonstop, and we will give you nothing. Thanks.
But no, in all seriousness, can't wait for season 4.
I'm really excited. I finally got a chance to watch the trailer. Like, I had the trailer set aside for the longest time, waiting until I finished season 3, and then I finally watched it. It was really good.
Nice.
Really excited. So that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to, Rich, recently? I know you had a big event that you're eager to talk about.
Yeah, I saw the boss.
Yeah.
Friday night. It's another one off of my concert bucket list. I saw Bruce Springsteen.
And how was that?
Oh,
was it amazing?
Gosh, it was a great show. Unbelievable. I can't believe he's in his late 60s.
He's still got it.
He played 34 songs, I think, off the top of my head.
Wow.
And
that seems like a lot of songs to play.
Yeah. He started at 8 o'clock, and he didn't finish till 11:15. And
wow.
No breaks, no nothing.
Wow. That's amazing. And he's in his, what, late 60s?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. I was just so blown away. It's amazing to see that kind of energy on someone who's a legend in the rock field.
A legend, yeah.
He was on the River tour. He was playing all the songs off of the River album, which I believe is coming out for a re-release. So if you're a big Springsteen fan, make sure to look out for that in your store or on iTunes. And I'm going to say this again as another helpful reminder, a little PSA. If there is a legendary rock act or someone who you view as like a legend and they're coming to town, just go see them. Just do it.
Especially with the aging ones, because like I know we talked a while ago about Rush and how the drummer, Neil Peart,
yeah,
he's retiring,
right? So there's probably no more Rush.
They're probably done. Yeah,
and thank God I saw them on their on their tour last year.
And yeah, if the Who get any older, I mean, you know, there'll be another legendary rock group, you know, that'll stop the touring circuit.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a short...
But Springsteen, it seems like from what you're saying, is he's still going pretty strong, though.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like he isn't stopping anytime soon.
Wow.
But
that's good.
Let's put it this way. The last couple of months have not been kind on rock stars. We lost David Bowie.
That's true.
We lost Scott Weiland.
The guy from the Eagles.
Yeah.
Whose name escapes me right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Because they only played one song for him during the stupid Grammys.
The Grammys, I unfortunately had to watch the first 10 minutes of that. It was torture.
Let me actually make a note of this.
Okay.
If you were looking for Grammys coverage, I think we both just consciously made a decision to say screw the Grammys.
Yeah.
Number
well, we
one,
didn't talk about it leading up to it. We're not talking about it afterwards.
Number one. They dedicate time to the worst things. Why was there a Lionel Richie tribute? Did he die? He didn't die.
No. Yeah.
What happened to him? I never understood the point of that.
I don't know.
Then the Eagles tribute. They only played one song. What?
That's a shame. There's so many good songs too.
And I don't get the categories anymore because there's best rock performance and then best alternate performance. And almost none of the people that were nominated in those categories are actually rock or alternative.
Really?
Yeah. I think like Meghan Trainor was in one of those categories.
Who?
The girl that's, oh no, no, the, no, no, it's, whoever sings X's and O's. X's and O's. What? That was,
Ellie King?
That was nominated for a best rock song. What the hell is up with that?
It's not rock, but
it's
I would definitely consider
no.
alternative though.
Not rock.
It's alternative though.
Not rock. It's not alternative. It's pop. Piece of poop.
You don't like that song? It's catchy. She's a great singer.
It's pop. That should not be associated with rock or alternative.
Okay.
The Grammys just piss me off.
I mean, I guess it is. I guess it is more poppy.
The thing that pisses me off. Yeah, the thing that pisses me off.
The Grammys pissed me off because the production value was awful.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching
this.
The opening of the show, and they had a countdown timer, a minute 30 to the Grammys or whatever. And the announcer was like, all right, and we're going live in 3, 2, 1. And then he just stood there awkwardly while the timer is still counting down. And then he realizes that there's still an entire like minute and a half left. So he just starts vamping and just, you know, freestyling it. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go over here and dance with the band now, and he does that, then he counts down again. The timer still has a whole minute left on it. I'm like, is he not wearing an earpiece with his executive producer going, you gotta kill another minute, you know, like who's in his ear telling him to start counting down when there's a minute left? Just the worst production value. Apparently one of the mics fell into the piano while Adele was doing her set or something like that. I mean, I hear all this stuff secondhand because I didn't watch it because I hate the Grammys.
Yeah.
It's the worst award show. It's not important. Like the Oscars, the Emmys, you know, those are the big ones. Then the Golden Globes.
Just pisses me off. And I'm glad I didn't waste my time on the Grammys.
Taylor
I didn't
Swift
watch
won
it.
Again.
So whatever. The point is,
I don't like her because she's so popular.
The point is, Grammys suck, and we're not covering on this show, and I'm glad we've made that
decision.
We
just did, though.
Just a little bit, but it's really about how we hated the Grammys, so there
you go.
That's
true.
That's it.
True.
That's all you're getting. We have more important things to talk about, like punishments in fantasy football, which we'll get to in the sports sampler. So you know what? How about we dive right into it?
Yeah, let's do that.
I made a transition. Go. We're DJs, all right? And
guess what? DJ Big Mac over here in the house with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha-ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
Yep, we got some important sports news for you guys. First, a little bit of a disclaimer. We just mentioned we're not going to be talking about the Grammys. We're also not going to be touching on another subject in sports, a sort of serious subject that some of you may have heard about that's been breaking recently. Peyton Manning has a bit of a controversy going on right now about some sexual assault issues that are being brought up from his past. In light of a new litigation against the University of Tennessee, I believe. So you guys may have heard that there was a huge article that was published over the weekend by Sean King of the New York Daily News. And, I mean, this article is massive. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of words, including him also posting a 74-page court document PDF. That has all the information there. A lot more information than we really want to touch on here. It's kind of a serious subject, which you guys know we sort of, you know, we try and stay a little more lighthearted on this show, right?
Yeah.
But if you guys want the information, go to the New York Daily News and check out Sean King's article about Peyton Manning, his image, and the sexual assault allegations that are going on right now. So that's just disclaimer right off the top of the show that we're not going to be covering that because it's still a very touchy and very fluid subject that's changing by the hour.
Yeah.
You know, new information coming out. So just want to get that out of the way. So now we can dive into what we had planned, the first of which is much more lighthearted, about basketball, which I know nothing about. What is basketball, Rich?
The game where you take the ball and you shoot it into the hoop.
Okay.
And you dunk.
So it's not the one that's played on ice then?
No. No,
okay.
No.
And none of these
things... you had a 50-50 shot on that
and
one.
And none of these things sound like football, though.
No, it's not football. No, no, no football talk for right now.
I gotta tell you... I gotta tell you, man, after football ended, I just feel lost. I'm like, where do I go? What do I do? What sports, you know?
Well, here's something that that isn't just sports specific, because you can bring up you can bring up football's Pro Bowl if you want in this subject.
Okay.
The NBA had their All-Star game this past weekend. And this is my general feeling towards it.
All right, so there you go. Great.
Yeah, just kind of. Right.
It's like, eh, whatever.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. because let's put it this way. This year's NBA All-Star game, the final score was West 196 to the East 173. All right.
Wow.
We had a team almost scored 200 points.
That's insane. And also, can I say, why didn't they try to score 200?
Yeah,
you
why
get that
short?
You get that close, you have to score 200, I think. I think there's like a rule. Like, my OCD is like, just four more points. You can do it. You can do it. Just four more points. You know?
Well, that
doesn't
would be...
Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that bother you?
That would be embarrassing, Mike.
Oh yeah, that would be so embarrassing.
That would be the line. That you're crossing over.
They score what, 370-ish points all total, but you know, those four more points, that would have made it embarrassing.
Well, anyway, although right now I'm taking a dig at the NBA All-Star game, this is actually a bigger problem, cuz I mean, each of the big four leagues has somewhat of a problem with their All-Star game.
And they're all unique in a way.
Yeah. They all don't really draw in the crowds that they used to.
Right.
They have low ratings.
Yeah.
Players, for the most part, view it as a joke, except for baseball, because MLB has attached a ridiculous rule that the All-Star game determines home field advantage
which
in the World Series.
Which makes no sense.
Which, yeah, I mean,
but...
yeah. So...
The performance of an entire league dictates who gets home field advantage. That doesn't make any sense.
So let's start off more macro. Why do you think All-Star games suck? What
I mean,
why can't it command the crowd?
That's really interesting, because you would think that something
right.
like this would be extremely popular. The best figures, the best athletes in this sport, all competing together and against each other. This should be something that every sports fan looks forward to. You know, like, oh my, you know, you sit there and you draft up those dream teams. This is the opportunity for those dream teams to become reality.
Especially with football.
Especially
they do,
with football.
They do fantasy football for real, or whatever the hell their motto is.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd think that this would be popular. But it's not, because I think that ultimately the fans are more concerned with, you know, their team and how they're performing. And for a lot of these sports that take these All-Star breaks in the middle of the season... As a fan, if this were to happen in football, I'd be like, especially this year with the Eagles, I'd be like, why are you guys taking a break to do this Pro Bowl nonsense? You know? Why can't you get back to playing regular football? Why can't we get back to actually trying to win games instead of taking this nonsensical break?
Well, I can answer that for basketball. Well, actually, for the other three leagues. The All-Star break is also an actual week of rest for all the players, because they play
but not really.
They all play 82 games,
but not really.
Baseball plays 162,
but not really, because the best players have to go play that week.
Yeah, but they don't play the whole game.
They
play a couple minutes,
which is another macro issue. Is that these players, they know that it's just a throwaway game. They know that they don't want to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to make any enemies. They don't want to, you know. There's no reason, there's no incentive for them to perform well. So why would they? And, you know, that's been a big trend recently with football, is that you see a lot of players dropping out of the Pro Bowl. And you get, like, the fourth, fifth option instead of who everybody voted for.
Yeah. By the way, speaking, quick side note, the Patriots, all the Patriots players that were nominated for the Pro Bowl after their loss to the Broncos all declined.
Of course they would. Why would they want to go play after they just lost on the second biggest stage in football?
I feel like that was Bill Belichick. That was just like, if any one of you MFers decide to go to Hawaii and play this stupid little childish Pro Bowl, I will personally kick your ass.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said to that sounds like something Bill Belichick would say. But you know what? No, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems is that these, well, for the NFL specifically, I'm not sure about the other leagues, but the NFL specifically, there's a lack of effort and there's no incentive. So a lot of players drop out, or players are too injured to play, or players are in the playoffs and don't want to risk something at the last second. So as a fan, you're watching not the best quarterback, but the fourth best quarterback, and you're watching the fourth best quarterback give 50% effort, you know? And not only that, but it has no, there is no significance of it in the larger scheme of things. It's not like this helps your team, you know. It doesn't make your team season better. It's supposed to be watching something fun, but it's not fun because the players aren't having fun, you know. So why?
Well, the players are having fun. They get a free trip to Hawaii for the Pro Bowl.
Well, yeah, but on the field they're not having fun. Have you ever watched, one of the best things I love to watch in the Pro Bowl is how the offensive and defensive lines play. They just stand up and they just like slap each other a little bit. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, yeah, they can't go full force.
But what?
They're not going to injure each other.
But as a fan, you watch that and you watch two grown men just slapping each other. They're not like really playing 100%. Is that compelling to you?
They should do like,
why don't they just take the line out?
Yeah, just have the take the line positions out.
Do like 7-on-7.
Yeah, 7-on-7.
That would be interesting because that's something we don't see.
Yeah, do 7-on-7. Or what was the thing we would do as kids? Like, you'd have like a fake like Mississippi count or whatever.
Oh, Mississippi, yeah.
Yeah.
You get 7 Mississippi.
Yeah, do that.
I love playing backyard football because you'd line up and you're like, shotgun, and you like move back. Like,
yeah. Ooh, boy.
Ooh, boy.
Big strategy here.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
And then you say hike, and then the defense is like, one Mississippi, two
Yeah, right.
Two
you could get that like blowing on like the scoreboards. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. That would be awesome.
That would be amazing. Then you just have like four guys like ready to charge at the quarterback.
They're all waiting.
So what happens at 7 Mississippi? Do you have an offensive line with this Mississippi?
No offensive line.
Oh my God. That's terrifying for a quarterback.
But they have 7 Mississippi.
They have 7 whole. That's a long time.
Yes, all right.
Most quarterbacks, if you can't get the ball out in 4 or 5 seconds, your team did something horribly wrong on that play.
Therefore, you shouldn't even be in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. I like the 7 Mississippi thing.
There we go.
Dear NFL.
Dear NFL, we have an idea.
7 Mississippi. Love.
For Pro Bowl.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Just like that.
That's the entire letter. I already sent it. It's already at headquarters. Roger Goodell, he's reading it right now. And he declined.
From DJ, from DJ Big Mac.
DJ Big Mac.
Love
DJ Big Mac. I want to start responding to all my messages with love because I think it's hilarious. Love DJ Big Mac.
Yeah, there you
go.
All right, well, there you go. We fixed one league.
So we fixed one league. All right, so let's jump to some of the other leagues. So you brought up an interesting thing with hockey specifically. Do you want to mention that? Because their all-star break, as you put it, they just don't care.
There are some times for hockey where the Winter Olympics falls around the same time, and they just decide not to do the all-star break.
So if it's that unimportant that you can just skip it every 4 years, why not skip it every year then?
Yeah, why even bother to even have this?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't. Do you watch a lot of hockey? What is their all-star game like? Do players decline it? Because it's right in the middle of the season, isn't it?
Well, get this. For this year, are you ready for what they did this year?
What did they do?
So since there's 4 divisions in hockey, they did like a short little like tournament where they put 2 divisions against each other, and then the winner of those 2 games was the true all-star game.
What?
Yeah, think about that for a minute.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of like creating an all-star team?
Right. Shouldn't it?
You're creating like an all-division team then.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Hey, it's the all-division team.
That's even dumber than the other one.
Yeah, and now you're expanding the all-star break.
They're expanding it. What are they doing?
Because now there's 3 games. Because there's, yeah, right?
So people barely sit through 1 pointless game.
Yeah, now you're still making them sit through 3.
Unbelievable. So if the one division team doesn't win, then those players just, they just go away. They don't get, like, enveloped into the other.
I think they play in, like, skills competitions or something, like, fastest speed or whatever.
So that's one thing that I do kind of, I think that might be interesting, is seeing, like, the three-point stuff and the slam dunk competition and skill things like that.
Oh, yeah. Those are fun.
Those are fun. It's the game itself.
It's
the
game. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. The thing that's supposed to be the actual selling point of the whole weekend.
Could you imagine the NFL doing, like, some trick passing thing? Or like crazy receptions or like accuracy tests or speed tests.
Throw through a tire.
Yeah, I would find that interesting. I would find that interesting because it would give you a chance to look at how two quarterbacks match up it doing the same thing in the same settings, right? The game itself is boring, but I want to see more of the skill things, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting. That's one way to fix all-star games in general.
Yeah. Don't actually make it a game. How about that? Let's do like weird skills competition.
Yeah, didn't Chad Ochocinco race a horse or a cheetah once?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he did.
But that wasn't at the Pro Bowl. The NFL is way too serious to do that type of stuff, though.
Yeah,
I mean, I would legitimately be interested in that. But the NFL,
no fun league. Yeah, you're right.
No fun league. So, but I think one of the big problems is having it in the middle of the season because one, how do you know who's the best in the league by the halfway point? You don't. You can't know. Right?
Yeah, because you're judging on only a half a season, not the whole season.
Right there, that's a big fault. Two, I can't imagine players, they don't want to get hurt at all, and you don't want to watch your players get hurt. So that, you know, the effort just isn't there. The fans can see that the effort isn't there. You know, and the fans are busy worrying about whether the player's going to get hurt rather than cheering on for whatever division, conference, league team that they want to win. I don't know. It just seems like having it in the middle of the season is just a mistake on multiple fronts. So, yeah. Hockey, football out of the way, basketball, and baseball. What's going on with these two sports?
Well, baseball, we all know the problem with baseball is they attach this ridiculous stipulation that the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage for their league.
Which I don't get that.
And especially in, well, I mean, all the sports series would like home field advantage, but really in baseball, that's huge.
It should be the best record overall.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Best record in the playoffs gets home field advantage.
Yeah. But now we have this ridiculous rule to make quote, the All-Star game interesting.
But you're adding significance to it, but significance that is more frustrating than if there was no significance.
Yeah.
Because really, your team's potential home field advantage is completely a crapshoot. You know?
Yeah, right.
Your team has no say and no role in that outcome, other than like the one or two players you send to the All-Star game.
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Oh, yeah.
You're taking control away from the teams, which should never happen. The team should control its own destiny, not leave it up to an All-Star game. So that's baseball's problem.
Yep.
Basketball, the problem is they're scoring
196
to 173.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Is there really a point in watching a game that has that high scoring?
Yeah. At that point, you might as well just make it you know, 8 points for a traditional three-pointer or something. You know, do wacky rules or something.
That would be amazing.
You know?
So a regular two-point shot is worth, like, maybe double. Four points for a normal shot and 6 points for a three-pointer.
Hook shot is, like, five or something.
I always thought basketball would be fun is if they had a different point total for half-court shots.
No, you know what they should do? They should make it, like, the old arcade versions of, like, NBA Street Jam and stuff and have, like, special, like, areas of the court where if you make a shot from there, it's like 10 points or something, you know?
They should do that, yeah.
Screw it. I mean, we're already up to 200 points.
I know, right? You might as well.
Yeah, there's no defense.
I mean, what's the difference between 200 and 400?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I mean, obviously there's a big difference in it, like, number-wise.
If the All-Star game's going to be this absurd, let's just push it. Let's go.
Just push it to the max. Yeah. That's one way to fix basketball. If you're going to be this offense-focused and this, like, wild scoring event, why don't you just crank it up to 11?
Yeah.
You know?
I think I like that. Like, I have, like, a random point on the board, and that's, like, a 10-point shot or something.
They should, yeah. Yeah, I agree. They should definitely do something to change it up a little bit. Like, if you, like, yeah, from different sectors, like, I'm just thinking, like, if you shoot, like, directly against, like, the back line, if you line up, like, right there and, like, shoot, you know how, like, you're facing the basket sideways, completely sideways?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's, I always thought that was a tougher shot, because you can't really bank it off the backboard.
No, you can't.
So that should be, like, extra points. That should be, like, a 4 or 5 point shot, instead of a 3 point shot.
I think there you go. I think we got
Slam dunks should be reduced to 1 point because you're the closest. It should be like proximity based too. Like I already have like this whole system in my mind. They should do it.
All right. Well, there you go. We have a solution for basketball and football.
Yeah. We don't have. Well, I'm just thinking. Do we have solutions for the other ones?
Well,
hockey. The solution is like you
hockey.
Know,
how about just don't
do the skills.
Do
thing.
The skills thing. Do and the that's skills it. Thing.
And baseball. We have no solution. Just stop.
Baseball. Just take a week off.
do the home run thing.
Do the home run derby and that's it.
Do, yeah. Again, skills position stuff. You know, do like fastest pitch and do like the home run derby and do, I don't know, fastest around the bases. Whatever
all
you
right.
want to do.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Baseball is just, it's kind of boring unless you're there.
Yeah, baseball you know? Is a sport to be there for.
It really is. I mean, I like occasionally watching it on TV, but like I'm just trying to think of something to spice up the All-Star break, and I'm like really stretching. Like I don't what would be exciting to watch, you know, other than the home run derby.
Yeah, the home run derby is where it's at because you just like to hear the crack of a home run. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Just, like, can you think of another skills thing that they could do? Like maybe like accuracy for pitching, but it's not really thrilling, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah. No, it's the home run derby.
It's the home run derby. Just do the home run derby.
Just do the home run derby and take the weekend off.
There you go. That's fine.
So
there you
there
go.
You
solving
go.
All the world's problems.
Trying to.
One
with
podcast
the All-Star game.
At a time. That's our new slogan.
But there you go. Our idea is to try and fix the All-Star games. But in case that might have posed a problem, I... I love this story. I'm so glad that I was able to get this story into
got?
The lineup. So the football season has come to an end.
Yes,
I know, Mike.
Sadly.
Mike is sad.
I spent all week mourning the loss of football.
Yep.
It's true.
So on the flip side, a lot of people – first off, a lot of people play fantasy football. And now that the season's over and all the bets are done and everything is over – this is the time when a lot of people are being rewarded in their fantasy football pools and
of
their
course.
Block pools and things that they bet, their prop bets, you know, everything.
Oh, yeah, the prop bets.
Yep, so right now is a great time for rewards.
Okay.
Conversely, though, it's also a time for punishment.
I didn't realize that punishment was a part of fantasy football.
Yes, it is. If you're in a strict league, there are sometimes, quote, punishments for finishing last in your fantasy football league, and this is designed.
Wow. Yeah. I did not know that. But now that you say that, it sort of makes sense because it prevents people from intentionally
right.
bombing and helping other people.
Right, because you don't want to have a couple people start off 2-6 in your fantasy football league and then they toss all the rest of the season
or games. Trade their best players to yeah. another team, you know, because they have no shot at winning. That would be ridiculous.
Right. So in addition to rewards, there have been punishments being handed out. And,
okay, this is interesting. I like a good punishment.
And the whole reason why this got started in my head was I saw what was originally an odd news story, but I'm pushing it up to the sports sampler because this was a story that was published. A fantasy football loser who came in last place in his league had to spend and document 30 straight hours in Waffle House.
Why?
That was the punishment.
30 straight hours?
Yes.
That's awful. I mean, waffles are pretty good.
But can you handle 30 straight hours of it?
Well, at least you won't go hungry.
Yeah, you won't go hungry.
You won't go hungry.
You have coffee.
You have coffee. I mean, but just spending 30 hours anywhere, just 30 hours straight, it's kind of tough. You know, like you got to get out and do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So
30 straight hours.
Where do you sleep? Or do you not sleep?
Maybe in a booth.
Would you sleep?
I don't know. Maybe I would try. I don't know. Part of me would probably want to just gung-ho it and just like
30 hours. It's a long time.
Yeah.
That might be doable.
This happened in North Carolina.
Okay.
And the unlucky person was Mike Fuller.
Okay.
Boy, man, this is definitely tough. 30 hours straight at a Waffle House.
That really sucks.
Yeah, and he had to document things that he did. Like, what did he order? Did he interact with any of the waitresses?
Well, you have to be able to provide proof.
Right. Yeah.
So, was Waffle House okay with this?
Apparently they were. They allowed him to do it, and I just love this story. What else are you gonna do? Like at a Waffle House, video games. There's
How.
Compute unless you bring your laptop.
Was he allowed to? This is where those things where you start at. You know, you start asking the questions like, what are the parameters of this challenge? Am I allowed to bring a laptop? Am I allowed to bring like a mobile game system? Does Waffle House have free Wi-Fi?
Does Waffle House even have free Wi-Fi? That's an important question.
Yeah, I don't know. My question is, though, is Waffle House okay with this? I mean, somebody comes in, they spend like an hour or two.
Well, here's part of the problem.
Okay.
You have to still be a customer.
Oh, God.
So he has to at least purchase things.
How often, though? I'd say
around 2 hours, like every two, like, because you can't be loitering. If you're loitering, then you actually are going to get arrested.
I say the max, because we've sat in restaurants for a while, I say the max is like...
Yes, we have.
around 2.5 before they start to get edgy and offer you coupons to leave.
Yeah.
Which is something that has happened to us in the past.
Yeah, we've done that before.
But I can't imagine a restaurant being okay with somebody staying there 30 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like, if I were the owner of that place, I'd be like, no, you got to get out of here.
You're starting to smell.
So if you were the owner of that place, would you start getting nervous? Like, you need to leave?
Well, if I find out that it was because it was a fantasy football punishment.
You'd probably be like, okay.
Yeah.
Probably help out the guy. Give him, like, 50% off or something. He's going to be buying a lot of waffles.
No, charge him more.
Charge him more. You have to be a customer. Everything is 100% more.
You messed up in fantasy football, son.
That waffle, that's $27 now. By the end of the 30 hours, the bill is just like $2,000. And the guy's going...
At a Waffle House.
The guy's like, damn, I should have just not played fantasy football this year. Oh.
All right, well, so this got the ball rolling in my mind. What other weird punishments have there actually been fantasy football losers? And I found an article sponsored by Crack.com. Thank you very much.
Nice. Crack.com, awesome.
The worst punishments... for losing in a fantasy football league that have been documented.
Okay.
All right. So I wanted to make sure that this isn't some BS story. These are actually proven.
Right.
So I'm going to start off with number 5 here. The loser of a fantasy football league that was called Lewis's Football League forced...
Creative title.
Yeah, very creative. Forced the loser of their fantasy football league to, quote, go to a supermarket... on a Friday or Saturday.
Okay. Are those busy days?
Loser's choice.
Are those busy days for supermarket, I would assume?
Yeah, because that's when moms are done their work week and they're getting stuff for the family.
Exactly.
They have to go into the supermarket, buy cucumber, lube, and condoms.
Oh, no.
And go through the busiest line that the other people deem that he has to go through.
That's amazing. With just those 3 items.
That's it.
Now, so if this guy were a ballsy guy, he should throw in like other products, like maybe like like sleep medication.
An ice pack.
An ice pack. Oh. Like you could have some serious fun with this punishment is what I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Like if you weren't too embarrassed by the other shoppers, you could have a lot of fun with this.
Oh,
that's amazing. Like,
all right.
Just look like party hats and whipped cream. People are like, what are you planning? Oh, that's amazing. That's awesome.
Okay, number 4.
All right.
This is from a football league known as the Tecmo Bowl Fantasy League in New Jersey.
Local.
Apparently don't join this one, though, if you're afraid of sitting on the toilet, because this league forces the loser to draft their fantasy team next year while sitting on the toilet.
How long does a draft take?
It depends on how fast the rest of the people are.
I'll say
the one we do at work usually takes about an hour and a half.
I mean, that's
not, too bad.
That's not too bad.
But that would definitely be annoying.
That's definitely uncomfortable and annoying. It's really inconvenient.
Yeah.
Unless you're smart and you hold it until the draft, you're like, this works out great, you know, because most people play on their phones anyway. Yeah.
Also, there is a little bit of added humiliation.
Oh, no.
You have to leave the door open to verify your ass is on the toilet the whole time.
I got to see cheek to seat, cheek to seat. Come on. I see that hover. Get down there. Bill, put that ass back on the seat.
Are you washing your hands?
Yeah, make sure you wash your hands. Oh, my God. So wait, are there other people around? Like, how is this draft? How do fantasy football drafts work?
Well,
you can do it online, but I guess some do it in person too.
Oh yeah, you can do it. Well, if you're not doing it online, yeah, you do it in person.
So you just have to leave the door open, and people can just be like,
"Yeah, what's up, Bob?
Hey, Bill, you're gonna draft in the third round.
Yeah,
that's nice.
How's your ass feeling?
How's your ass? That is the creepiest single question you can ask another human being, Rich. So, Bill, I see you took Andy Dalton in the second round. Now, how's your ass feeling? Is it getting sore? Do you need me to get anything for you? The conversation just keeps getting creepier.
You want some lube and a cucumber?
I already got one. Thanks. Oh, my God.
All right. Number three on the worst punishments for losing the fantasy football league. This one.
The other two were pretty bad.
This one sounds painful, though. I would not want to do this one. This comes from a fantasy football league called Pat's Booze Hound League.
Okay.
Boy, yeah, right to the point.
I assume there's some drinking
the
involved.
Booze Hound League. And it's a simple rule. If you are in last place, the last place finisher is taken to a paintball location.
Ooh.
They have to dress up as a lion, and the other players are allowed to hunt them at the paintball location.
That's amazing. Is this an NFC North city? Dress up as a lion?
It says New York.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Maybe
New York State, because it doesn't say New York City, it just says New York, but it's probably New York State.
Yeah. But what is – I'm just saying it would make sense for, like, the NFC North because that's the division with the Lions in it.
Oh, okay.
You got it? Yeah. But, no, New York, that's – I mean, they should have them dress up as, like, I don't know, who's like a Patriot. Right? Because New York and Boston have, like, a rivalry going on, you know? Goofy Patriot hat. Yeah, but I love that idea, though, of hunting somebody with paintballs.
Yeah.
One, because it's like, it gets the other people involved in a way that doesn't involve them spying on the person in the bathroom. Which
creepier.
Is great. That's, yeah, it's less creepy. It's a little bit more sadistic in the fact that you're hunting one of your friends. But yeah, I think that's hilarious, but also really painful. Like, you're causing physical pain to this person, which is kind of uncool. But they deserve it.
Okay.
Because they're awful at football. I shouldn't say that, because if I did fantasy football, I would definitely be having to do these punishments like every single year, which is why I don't do fantasy football. I didn't know this was a thing, but now even less of a reason to do it.
All right. Well, you don't like pain. I don't think you're going to like number two here.
Okay.
This one is simply called the Panda League.
Okay.
And you're going to find out why. This league has an actual full-blown document called the Panda Carta, which...
I love it already, the Panda Carta.
Yep, which has all of the rules and regulations of the Fantasy Football League. And in the Panda Carta is an article that says that...
This is like a whole government and everything.
Right, yeah.
Do they have amendments and stuff?
Yeah, well, this is the amendment for the loser.
Oh, God.
The loser of the Panda League must go get his belly button pierced with a panda ornament.
Oh, my God. That's awful. There's like a whole group of burly men with panda belly button piercings.
Yeah. It must hang over the belly button. And the panda must go inside the belly button.
I love how there's such specific rules.
There's an actual picture.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely.
Just for you, Mike. Everybody else imagine
thanks?
It.
Oh, yeah, because nobody else can see it. I forget that nobody else can see it. Yeah, it's just a big hairy belly.
It has to
tiny
go
little...
in the belly button.
That's awful. Wouldn't it get uncomfortable? I don't know how girls do it. With the belly button rings? With the belly button piercings? Don't you think that would be uncomfortable? I don't know.
And number one, this goes to a football league out of Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
And this is just pretty obvious at how bad this could end up being. In this league that is called the Tattoo League,
okay.
The loser must get a tattoo of a design that is approved by the other players.
Oh, no.
Of the fantasy football league.
It's just dicks everywhere. Am I not? I'm not allowed to say that, am I?
We'll have to see in the editing suite.
I meant pictures of people named Dick. Not getting away with that one. That's awful. Do they have examples?
Oh my gosh. Apparently last year someone had to get a tattoo of hashtag YOLO swag.
Oh no. Does it have to be visible? Can you like hide it somewhere?
They have a video about it. This guy got it on his shoulder.
Okay.
Two years ago, someone got Justin Bieber.
Oh God.
This is bad.
Oh no, that's bad. That's embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Did they say what this year's was? Or do they not know yet, I guess?
I think this year was the YOLO swag.
Okay.
But 2 years ago, it was Justin Bieber. Oh my God.
The YOLO swag thing you could pass off as trying to be ironic in like a sort of cringy way. The Justin Bieber thing is just bad.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to be able to...
It's like, oh, dude, I totally did it ironically. Like, no. You have Justin Bieber tattooed on your forearm or whatever.
And Justin Bieber sucks. So what are you doing?
Oh, what are the rules? Can you get it? Can you get the tattoo edited later to add sucks to the end of it?
I don't know.
That would be an interesting loophole.
See, this league needs to go to the Panda League and draft a whole constitution.
They need somebody to draft up a specific constitution.
They need a tattoo treaty.
The tattoo treaty of 2016.
Right.
I love it.
The tattoo treaty. Why not? Come on, guys. You guys need to step up your game and get that going. So there you go. I thought that was funny. I thought that was something that you would like.
I love it. That would have been a really good odd news story, but you know what? I'm glad that you brought it out in sports because it's really relevant to sports.
Yeah, and an interesting way to officially start to wrap up the NFL season.
Question, does your league have a punishment?
No, but I think we might have to institute something.
Well, you've always come to the top three. You don't got anything to worry about.
So far, I've been doing pretty good, but watch
next year, dead last.
Yeah, watch.
And you're going to be sitting on the toilet in a Waffle House with a tattoo of Justin Bieber on your forehead.
Alright, on that note, I think we're gonna end the sports sampler before any more crazy ideas happen about my punishment in fantasy football league if that does happen. But that's enough sports. We'll take a break and we will come back with the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Still lots more show to come. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament and police sent him directly to jail. 69-year-old John Linton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on like your first or second turn. People were literally going bankrupt on like the fourth or fifth turn. It would just break hearts and destroy friendships. It was a horrible, horrible experience. I have serious PTSD from playing.
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries, you know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era.
We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know, I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags.
I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. That's like, it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A crazy way to start off the show. We had a random bit about the Grammys.
Yeah.
So, you know for a fact we're not going to talk about the Grammys in the entertainment entree.
Yep.
And then we went on that ridiculous thing about the fantasy football punishments.
I love that. That was good.
Do you have any new ones you thought up during the break? What would you do if you were?
What would I do?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm a nice guy. I don't think I would do anything that painful or humiliating. But it has to be something good. Nothing permanent like the tattoo either.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'd have to give it a lot of thought. What about you? I personally, I'm at a loss.
I love that toilet idea.
The toilet one was funny.
To stay on the toilet.
That was really funny. And I really like the cucumber one, too, because if you're not embarrassed easily, you can have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah.
The other ones, causing physical pain, causing permanent changes like a tattoo, that's like, I don't know about that.
You know what? I'd like to go to a Waffle House.
Not for 30 hours.
Not for 30 hours,
though.
But I would go to a Waffle House for an extended period of time. Coffee and waffles, I'm in.
I think, you know what I read recently? I saw a funny picture of bonus extra credit questions that a teacher was asking on tests.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the extra credit ones was, whoever's the first person to read this and jump up on the desk and shout, "Oh, captain, my captain," gets bonus points. So if you work in like a really strict, quiet workplace, I think doing something like that might be
"Oh, captain, my captain"
might be fun. Yeah. That would be something that's only a little bit embarrassing and it's fun for everybody, but it doesn't cause pain or permanent changes or embarrassment. I think that would be a good, like, real simple one to do.
All right,
you're looking for something a little more humiliating.
No, that's funny. No, I like that one.
I thought that was funny.
And a nice tribute to Robin Williams.
Yes, of course.
Well, you know what? Speaking of movie references and celebrities, I think that's a good transition into our next segment. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. "Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof."
Music.
"I know what that is. That's music."
Video games.
"I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel."
Celebrities.
"You really know Warren Beatty?"
"Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes."
And more.
"You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world."
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Start off.
That was a cat just rocking out.
Yeah.
Is that what that was?
They call it the collective soul cat, and it's just a cat who happens to love meowing in the break in between Shine, which is a famous single off of from the band Collective Soul.
Yeah.
is great. I love it.
Musical cat, man. He's actually like in tune.
I love, that's why I love cats, because they just have like this, they're just so strange sometimes, the things that they do. I love the fact that it was like perfectly in time with the music. I love that it was like these tiny little like, yeah, it's like this like, and just the best juxtaposition ever.
It's perfect. I love it. I love it. And I'm a cat guy too, so.
You should get your cats to do that, Rich.
Oh man, if only they would talk, if only they would talk when I want them to talk.
They're not, I mean, the times that I've been around your cats, they're not very vocal.
Not usually, but like.
Are cats really vocal though, in general?
It depends on their nature.
Okay.
Cause, you know, I have two cats, and the orange one that acts like an old man, he can be vocal when he's not happy.
Oh.
Like.
He's like grumpy old guy on the porch, yeah, with a shotgun and beer, right? Ah, get off my lawn! What's going on here?
You know, I'm playing video games and things are exploding. He's like, oh, there's too much noise. I don't like this.
He's back talking you.
You kids and your technology.
Quit that racket.
Yeah. You call that music? I remember when I listened to Al Jolson. It's a hell of a cat.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's a hell of a cat right there. Sure.
Cat music reviews. There you go.
Cat music reviews. It didn't have enough meowing. 1 out of 5 paws.
So, there
my
you go.
Girl's pussy. Do you remember that? Do you remember that song?
Gosh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, we got to replay that one on one of our best of shows.
We do. We do.
That was a great segment. We had, what was it, the dirtiest songs?
It was the dirtiest old songs. Yeah. And it was just, all these songs were like super double entendres.
Yeah.
The one song was My Girl's Pussy.
Yeah.
And so he wants you to believe he's talking about a cat. And
of course, the joke. Yes.
Of course. That's what all 1930s jazz singers.
What else do you mean by pussycat?
I put just a cat.
Tom Jones sings about it.
Yeah,
what's new pussycat?
Yeah, there's no other possible meaning for that word. I mean, you know, that was the joke we made at the time. If this is a PG understanding of the song, it means cat. If it's a PG-13 meaning, if it's an R meaning, then it definitely doesn't mean cat. You know, yeah, we definitely have to revisit that segment.
Yeah,
that was a fun one.
That was a good one.
How do you like that for a reference, though?
Wow. I'm going to have to add that to our best of collection on the YouTube page, which, by the way, subscribe, Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, do it now.
Yes. We'll wait.
All right. Are you done?
Maybe we'll. Yeah. All right. No, I think we're good.
Okay.
But there you go. I had to play that one for you because that's just too damn cute. I love it.
It really is.
Collective Soul Cat, thank you for blessing us on the internet. And with that over, let's delve more into the entertainment entree with a weekly report from Mike as to the things that we should keep an eye and ear on. Folks, it's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yeah, what's going on tonight?
Well, let me tell you what's going on in This Week in Entertainment. If you're heading to the movies this week, check out this new horror movie, The Witch. It's a colonial-era horror movie noted for its slow-building psychological terror. I watched the trailer for this. It looks so scary, so creepy. It's currently got an 86 on Rotten Tomatoes, a 7.7 out of 10 average rating. And the critics' consensus is, as thought-provoking as it is visually compelling, The Witch delivers a deeply unsettling exercise in slow-building horror that suggests great things for debuting writer-director Robert Eggers. So if you want a good, really mind-messing, slow-burning horror movie, go check this one out, The Witch,
opening this week. If you're in for something a little more lighthearted, something in the realm of TV, tune into Netflix this week while they're debuting their new original romantic comedy co-created by Judd Apatow, starring Jillian Jacobs from Community. It's, quote, a comedic and down-to-earth look at dating that follows the rebellious Jillian Jacobs and the sort of quirky, what's this guy's name? Paul Rust, who's playing the character Gus. I watched the trailer. It looks really funny, really quirky. A lot of great one-liners. If you're familiar with Judd Apatow's work on, he did This Is 40 and Knocked Up, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, in the same sort of rom-com as those. So definitely check out Love on Netflix coming out this week. Finally, in the world of video games, Rocket League is finally releasing on Xbox One, sporting all the previous DLC in one package for my Xbox fans. I'm happy they're finally getting a chance to play this amazing indie sports game. One of my favorites this past year. So if you have an Xbox, go check that out.
Yeah, Rocket League is awesome. It's essentially soccer with cars. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's the most addicting thing ever. And they consistently update it. Every couple months they bring out new features. One of the best supported indie games there is right now. One of the most well-polished, too. So definitely go check that out. If you want something new on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, check out Layers of Fear. It's a horror exploration game. It's sort of PT-esque in its setup. As you explore a creepy house and try to uncover some mysteries, it's heavily focused on narrative exploration and environmental puzzles. With limited action, you can't really, there's no running away from the ghosts and monsters or hiding from them. It's all about just experiencing the jump scares and just being in that environment and being thoroughly terrified while you're going through this narrative. It's got mid-70s scores on Metacritic. It's a classic jump scare horror game. So go check that out if you want to be a little bit frightened here in the closing weeks of winter. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for this week in entertainment. Let's get to something that is making headlines over the weekend, and that is the crazy and exciting Deadpool movie. I mean, this is the big hit at the box office right now.
Yes, it certainly is a big hit. I think it's the highest grossing R-rated movie week one release, which is a really big deal because for it being the genre that it is, superhero action blockbuster, you don't see a lot of R-rated movies in this genre because...
And a lot of R-rated movies, too, are just hard to get backing for in Hollywood.
Well, because there's so much of a money commitment to movies anymore. You know, these movies are multi-million dollar affairs, like hundreds of millions of dollars. And so the studios want to make their money back, so they want to appeal to the widest audience possible, which means giving it a PG-13 rating.
At least,
yeah. So you see some watered down content. You see some movies that could have gone.
Live Free and Die Hard.
Yeah, that was the fourth one, right? Where he says yippee-ki-yay, and then
the gunshot hides mother.
Yeah. I mean, that's what made it not that line specifically, but the over the top action and violence and profanity and vulgarity. Not vulgar. It wasn't vulgar. But you know what I mean. That sort of over-the-top, unbridled sort of action was what made it so popular in the first place, number one and two, because they were R-rated.
Yeah. The original trilogy, yeah.
Was it all R-rated?
Were all R-rated, yeah.
Yeah. I never understood this idea of, forcing something to try and be a PG-13 movie.
We got to expand to the biggest audience.
Look, tell the story you need to tell. If that story is an R-rated story, then it's an R-rated story. But because people can tell when they go to a movie, if you're pulling punches, if you're not going the extra distance, just to try and get the widest appeal.
And where are the boobies?
Yes, more boobs. I don't think you can go wrong with more boobs in movies.
Yes.
Like the next Disney movie should just be boobs everywhere.
The reason I bring that up is, and with Die Hard, is There's one scene in Die Hard where there's just no reason for boobs. It's like a girl leaving an office.
She doesn't
have a top on?
No, she's running because I think that's when the terrorists start taking over the tower. And so she leaves in the middle of whatever she was doing. She just happened to be
topless.
Whoops. And this is
I regularly take my shirt off when I'm in the office.
So this is embarrassing.
I air myself out.
This is embarrassing, but I have to tell this story because I think it's relevant. Back in the day, if there are any young whippersnappers listening, because we're so old, but back in my day, before the era of like really good internet and
after Al Jolson,
yes, right after that. But before we had like really reliable internet and mobile connected devices and other, avenues to view such content, as a young boy, I would watch and try and pause the VHS at that point because there were boobs.
Can you blame me?
Are you telling me you didn't?
Oh, well, every guy did that.
Every guy did that. Come on.
Uh-huh. Because and then you
there was no internet.
Pay and play.
There was no internet. There was no internet, guys. Yeah. I mean, there was, but you really couldn't. You had to unplug the phone. It was a mess. It was just too much effort.
The worst would be like you were with like dial up. Be like you'd be loading up an image and it'd only be like line by line.
Literally line, but like you can watch line by line as it loads the pixels.
Look at that line!
Look at that line!
There's
oh,
a nipple in
just
it.
A few more lines.
Oh my god!
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
That is a weird form of discipline, isn't it? Watching something load like that line by line.
Can you discipline him?
Oh, kinky!
Anyway. Yeah, God bless the internet.
That's right.
So, R-rated movies, we want to see more violence, we want to hear more cursing, we want to see more boobs. So Deadpool gives us, I think, 2 out of 3. I don't know, does Deadpool have boobs in it? I don't know.
I don't know, don't spoil it for me.
Don't spoil it, no boobs. Yeah, Rich does not want any boob spoilers.
Yes, alright, I want my boobs to be natural. Boob exposure to be natural.
There you go, good clarification.
Yes.
This segment's just going straight off the rails. I think from the very start we built the rails so they were going into the ravine. We just said screw it. R-rated movies. So the big thing about this R-rated movie now is because Hollywood is an industry of copycats. There's already an announcement, or not an announcement, but it's been rumored and suggested through promo material that the next Wolverine spinoff movie is already targeting an R rating. And people are concerned that they're just trying to piggyback on this hype and the success of this R-rated Deadpool movie. Like, oh, let's make it R-rated. Let's make it super edgy, super violent just to get the R rating because people will go see it. And some people are being critical of that. James Gunn, the person behind the Guardians of the Galaxy, he is a little concerned with this. He says, quote, "After every movie smashes records, people here in Hollywood love to throw out the definitive reasons why the movie was a hit. I saw it happen with Guardians. It wasn't afraid to be fun, or it was colorful and funny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And next thing I know, I hear of 100 film projects being set up like Guardians. And I start seeing dozens of trailers exactly like the Guardians trailer with a big pop song and a bunch of quips. And he says, Deadpool wasn't that. Deadpool was its own thing. That's why people are reacting to it. It's original. It's damn good. And it was made with love by the filmmakers, and it wasn't afraid to take risks. So what do you think about that, Rich? Do you think that – I mean, it's no secret that Hollywood likes to copycat stuff and likes to try and, you know, cash in on the hype thing. Do you see this as being a possible concern, though, for upcoming movies, that all of a sudden they're all going to try and be R-rated and be as edgy as possible?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want every movie from here on out to be a ripoff of Deadpool.
Yeah, it has to be its own thing.
Like you said a couple minutes ago before we had the boob talk.
I know, everything before the boob talk is just sort of lost in a haze.
But like you said, the story should be the story the way the writers want to tell it, and whether it's a PG-13 or an R-rated story, keep it that way throughout the writing and the editing process.
Yeah, I mean, like
stick to what the story's supposed to be.
Exactly. Tell the story that you need to tell.
So Deadpool, that had to be an R-rated movie.
Right. You have this edgy, sarcastic character that's really raunchy and really violent. He's an anti-hero. He's not Spider-Man who's going to spare people or Batman who never kills anyone. You know, Deadpool, he carries guns and a sword. He's going to kill people. It's got to be R.
Yeah.
You know, But if you take, you know, if you take like a Batman movie and you try and make that R, like, I don't think that would work. You know, if Batman is all of a sudden like decapitating people, you know, and like crazy, and just like cursing as he's fighting, like, oh, you know, F this, F that, I'm effing Batman. I feel like that would be totally contrary to what the character is and what the story is supposed to be about. You know, you have to tell the story that you need to tell, and don't try and make it anything else. I think that's where you run into problems. Now Wolverine, here's the thing. I say that, and I think Wolverine should probably be an R-rated movie. Because Wolverine is a very violent character. He's another type of anti-hero, X-Men, where he's not going to pull his punches. Even in the X-Men movies that have been released already, he's killing tons of people. It doesn't look like it because everything is cut a certain way and, you know, it's real fast. What do you think those claws are doing? Do you think they're just knocking people out? No!
They're killing them.
He is slicing through people's trachea and they're dying by drowning in their own blood, kids. That's what's happening. That's who Wolverine is.
Just an FYI.
Just an FYI. I mean, you're not too familiar with X-Men, but, I mean, you know Wolverine.
I know Wolverine.
And you've seen the movies, right? So you know that it's not kid-friendly stuff, but they make it PG-13 by not showing any blood, and they have the fast cuts. And
By the way, this is something that always bothers me, too, is, like, I know I'm going back to boobs, but...
You and boobs.
Yeah,
I mean...
I like boobs.
Boobs are, like, a universal thing that everybody
can love.
Shoot me.
I like boobs. But sex is always taken to, like, the most, like, oh, my God, like, reaction. Like... Somebody gets their head cut off. PG-13.
Yeah.
Oh, a pair of boobs being shown. Oh, R rated. What?
A nipple. Oh my God. That's going to corrupt the morals of America's youth. Yeah, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, like violence is completely on a different level than sex.
I think so. Yeah.
You know, like
the only thing that I would disagree that I would say you would draw the line is like hardcore, like full on sex.
Well, that's a porno.
Well,
if you're going that route, Mike.
Well, I mean, no.
What are you, Lars von Trier over there?
I still haven't seen that movie. I'm really interested in seeing that. Is it still on Netflix?
I think it is.
Okay. Instant cue for later. No, the point that I'm making is like House of Cards and Game of Thrones type stuff. Like, they have some pretty explicit scenes that I could understand if you don't want younger people to see that. But like, just like boobs, like there's... Boobs aren't going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Like an ass.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, not going to hurt you.
Is ass an R rating?
I don't even know with the way the MPAA system is.
They're really weird.
Yeah, they are. Because there are some instances where they show like they show a certain number of seconds of ass, and that's and who measures the time?
Also, PG-13, I think, is allowed to get away with one... F-word,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Like
which defeats
like
the
that.
Purpose.
Yeah.
It defeats the purpose.
Why is one bad word okay, but two or more, R-rated? What?
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. And I'm always shocked when I'm watching like primetime TV and they get the one S-word in. And it's like, I thought you weren't allowed to say that, but they're allowed
to. You got a badass over here.
But they're allowed to say one instance of it, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I think,
like Walking Dead gets away with the S-word.
Yeah. And I think Breaking Bad used the F-word once, didn't they?
Yeah.
I remember watching it and being like, are they allowed to say that?
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because, what's his name? Vince,
Gillian. Vince Gillian,
I think? He said in an interview that since they were allowed to use one F-bomb per season,
right.
The F-bomb comes at a critical moment in each season arc.
Oh, interesting.
So, just an FYI, if you notice, whenever a character says the F-bomb in Breaking Bad, that's like the climax of a story arc.
I mean, it just goes to show you though, why one use? One use, and it's fine. Two uses gets an R rating.
Yeah, what is this? Fool me once, shame on you.
Wait, did they do like psychological studies? Yeah. If a kid hears it once, they'll never say it. If they hear it twice, it's the only word they'll ever say ever again. That's not,
and you've lost them.
That's not the way kids work. Let
Good
me tell
job,
you.
Good job, parents of America.
Good, congratulations. You all fail. It's like, no, that's not the way kids work. If the kid hears a word and he knows he's not supposed to say it, he's going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
We were all kids once.
Yep.
The first time you heard the F-bomb, you'd snicker, 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 F this, F that, you know, right? It's going to happen. It's like, I don't know. I just, if you're going to draw the line, make it a hard line. Don't make it a soft line.
Yeah,
it just complicates matters.
Or just don't do any lines. Just don't come do on. Any.
Just free or for all.
Just do basic like children movie, grade school and like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm not, I should not be in charge of the categories, but
it's My Little Pony and then everything else. It's a G and then X. That's the only line in Rich's mind.
I don't know. It should be like, it should almost be like school. Like there should be
grade school, grade, high school.
Yeah, like a grade school movie, junior high movie.
When they start teaching sex ed, that's when they should be allowed to see boobs in movies.
Yeah, and that's, well, I mean, by that time, yeah.
As long as there's no graphic depictions. Like, if there's just, like, a pretty lady standing there without a top, that's the human body. You're going to see that in encyclopedias. That's how I learned about it.
You're going to see it in art.
Yeah, exactly.
What are we going to do? Kids can't do art classes? Like,
well, I don't know what art classes you had, but we were, like, making paper mache, like, smiling suns and crap. I want your art classes. Here's a nude model. Kids, draw her. Everybody's like so that their eyes are just like popping out of their heads. By the end of the class, the paper just has like a single line on it.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Can I keep this picture?
Why did you put glue on this paper? It's not glue. Do we have to, is that allowed to stay in?
I'm
really testing the limits of
your
censorship,
you are.
Aren't I?
Yes, you are. There's
now, here's a question. We're a PG-13 podcast. Can I get one F-bomb without it being R?
No.
Well, fuck you, Rich. That's one to think on.
All right, thank you.
I love it. I feel energized now. That was good.
You son of a bitch.
Well, do you get one use too, or is the one use?
No,
between...
I think you've used the one use.
I'm sorry, Rich.
So, I hope you feel better about yourself.
I do. I feel great. That was amazing.
Okay.
I think that was a great way to like prove a point, though.
Okay, DJ Big Mac over there.
Hey, DJ Big Mac, don't give no shits. I'm sorry. I'll be clean from here on out.
Thank you.
I always am.
Yes,
come
you.
Come on.
Yeah, we've made it this far in recording the podcast.
There's our producer just flipping us the bird. what a perfect cherry on top.
Right. Yeah, great. Mike's cursing me out. Bruno's cursing me out. Everyone's cursing me out. Jeez. Yes, go ahead. You can get your water. Our associate producer asked for my permission to get water.
Can I drink, please? No. No water
you
for
you. You flip me to bird.
No water.
No, that's all right. Go get your water. But there you go.
That was an interesting segment.
Yeah. I don't know how to end that segment, but there you go. That's the entertainment entree for this week. I hope that we somehow enlighten you despite our crazy talk. But
I think we did.
I think so. But you know what? You know, Bruno's getting water. You know what? I think I'm a little parched. I think I'm going to get water too.
That's a good idea.
You want to join me?
I'm going to join you, yes.
All right. Well, we'll go get water and refresh our throats because we have the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come.
We'll need to be refreshed for that one.
Yes. Don't go anywhere. Still more of this crazy damn podcast still to come. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course.
The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor and they were a man's bare feet. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape. Schwartz ran out soon after, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
You know, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, assaulting people. In the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. This is criminal assault Barbie.
Yeah,
she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We have hit you with the sports sampler, the entertainment entree, some racy topics.
Yeah.
Some crazy, racy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bringing that word back. Racy.
Did it go anywhere?
Maybe. It races around, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Too fast.
Such a quick word.
You don't know where it's at half the time.
Oh, where did the word go? It disappeared. I gotta
find
somewhere.
It.
It's somewhere. Well, we found it. It's right here in the podcast.
Yep.
Racy.
And we're
brought to
it back.
You by the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah. Racy.
So Netflix sponsors us and we sponsor the word racy.
Sure.
Something like that.
I think that's correct.
Okay. All right. It's a good symbiotic relationship.
Yep. You know what else is a good symbiotic relationship?
Tell me, Rich, what's a good symbiotic relationship?
Our relationship with the crazy people that make the headlines in our next segment. Folks, it's time for your week's weekly report of the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada basata. I don't make this stuff up.
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Time for some odd news.
That's right. Don't eat chocolate right before you're about to talk. No, I'm good. For those of you that may not know the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before because he keeps them hidden and secret from me. So all my reactions are my gut reactions, my initial genuine reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. I love this segment, and doing that with chocolate in my mouth was really tough.
Well, yeah.
I have a bowl of Hershey Kisses. I had one. I had to move it away because I was just going to keep eating them throughout the odd news.
Yeah. You're going to have a chocolate rush soon.
Yeah, no, I can't have that. I got to stay calm, cool, and collected.
Yes, you have to analyze
for the
these
wacky,
these
crazy, wild, odd news.
Yes, we need your rational mind to try and analyze these ridiculous stories.
To bring sense to a world of senselessness.
Yep. Should we dive right in?
Let's do it.
All right. This story actually appeared on Good Morning America. I love this story. This got mainstream attention. I love it.
Wow. That's pretty big for an odd news story.
Yep. But this is just too good to not talk about. A Spanish man was fined after his employer discovered that he had been absent for work for 6 years without notifying anyone.
Six years?
Yeah. 6 years.
I mean, oh my God, if I don't show up for work one day, it's like the entire world is falling apart.
6 years.
How did he get paid? Because that would be amazing.
Joaquin Garcia, a 69-year-old engineer at a municipal water company in Cadiz, was fined more than $30,000 after his employer discovered that he hadn't reported for work for 6 years.
Look, that's the employer's fault for not noticing.
But are you ready for how he got caught?
How?
His employer was trying to present to him an award for 20 years of service with the company.
That's amazing. Come up and get your award. Where did he go?
The crickets.
That's amazing. 20 years of service, but he was only there for 14 of them.
His annual salary was $41,000. So yes, he was getting paid.
Wow. So that fine, I mean,
is a year.
Yeah,
year,
it's about
a year salary.
I mean, he got 6 years of salary without doing anything. So that's actually a pretty good. I mean, That's a pretty good cost-benefit thing, you know? Wouldn't you say?
His employers at the water company believed he was being supervised by local authorities, while Deputy Mayor Jorge Fernandez thought that the opposite was true. So he literally, I thought he was being supervised by you. The other guy, oh, I thought you were supervising him.
And they never found out.
Right.
They never needed to contact him for anything. Like, hey, what's your input on this project? Or, you know, what's the status on this? They never had a situation like that. They had to get in contact with them for 6 years.
You know, you're right. When I miss a day of work, it's like all hell's breaking loose. I know. 6 years.
The number of emails I get, if I were ever to miss more than a day, there would be like alarm bells left and right. I'm serious. It's insane.
You always feel like you're so far behind when you miss a day of work or something.
Yeah.
And this guy missed six years.
Well, man, he must have had the most laid-back job ever. What did he do again? He was an engineer?
Engineer at a municipal water company.
So he's in charge of the public's water.
I guess so.
Yikes.
In Cadiz, Spain, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
Cadiz. According to the news outlet El Mundo...
doesn't that mean, like, the big?
I don't know. El Mundo...
okay.
The Spanish news outlet claims that people were giving him the honorary title El Fucinaro Fantasma, which is translated to the Phantom Official. Yeah, he's the Phantom Official.
I love it. Does he just lurk around the municipal water plant with half a mask?
Yeah. He only shows up when he absolutely has to be there at work. Doesn't even show up for an award.
Oh. I mean, that's dedication right there, not even showing up for an award. That's impressive.
Yeah.
dun, 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 dun. I love this. I love the Phantom of the Opera. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Any reason to play it, why not?
I know. What was his name again? The Phantom Official?
His nickname is El Fucinaro Fantasma.
Okay.
Which is the Phantom Official.
Phantom Official. The Phantom Official is here to skip his work. You can't really make that work.
Yeah, I feel like this
Well, why should I make it work when he's not willing to work?
Right. And I feel like it's going to be a very quick play.
Yeah.
It's very straight to the point.
No, wait, he's not here. Never mind, guys, go home. Play's over.
Play's over. Good night. Good night, everybody.
World record, shortest musical ever. It's just two words, the Phantom. Oh, wait, no, he's not. He's not present.
Well, see you later.
That's
it. Yeah. Yeah, he just did not report to the job for 6 years. He only occasionally reported to work for, quote, brief periods of time. But when he did, he spent his days at his office studying philosophy books.
I mean, if there's a bigger BS. Jesus. I mean, he's hardly there, and when he's there, he's not there.
Yeah, he's reading studying philosophy.
I mean, he missed his true calling. Really, what he wanted to do was just sit around. He wanted to be like Aristotle or
he wanted to be a philosophy professor. You know, he should have just done that route.
Oh, my God. The philosopher of the opera.
Yeah. The Phantom of Philosophy.
The Phantom of Philosophy.
Read that, Nietzsche, or you will die. But will you actually die? What are the states of death? The Phantom has to think about this.
The Phantom of the Opera just became a lot more complex.
Yeah.
I think, therefore I am. Masquerade! Am I really who I am, or is this mask the real person?
Masquerade.
It's a philosophical debate I cannot answer. Masquerade! I have personality disorders. I have no idea who I am anymore. Help me. Masquerade! Please, God, tell me who I am. I'm having an existential crisis here. while I'm dancing and singing. I want to see that musical now.
Boy,
I don't know.
There you go. Phantom of the Philosopher.
Phantom of the Philosopher. There we go.
Perfect. Andrew Lloyd Webber, get on this.
That's the long-awaited sequel to Phantom of the Opera. Phantom of the Philosopher.
Yeah. So Garcia wrote to the mayor requesting not to pay the fine and is seeking a review of the ruling that is against his interests.
Why bother?
We'll find out. Yeah.
You didn't show up for six years. What's the judge going to be like, oh, okay? like, there's so much evidence mounted against him.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's amazing.
Yep.
I think all workers should aspire to what that guy did.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our next story here. Going from Spain to Australia.
Australia, mate.
Yeah, very worldly.
We got a lot of all news here down under.
Yep.
When we throw some shrimp on the bobby, it goes all crazy like.
Well, this...
Read it in an Australian accent, Rich.
No. I can't
no.
Do that.
Okay.
But this is definitely noteworthy just of the scale of this story.
Okay.
Australian authorities said that they confiscated, and get this, $890 million worth of liquid methamphetamine, also known as ice. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, we're not talking about, you know, your regular...
You said $890 million?
Yes, $890 million worth of meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. No, it's meth, 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 meth. That's a birthday party right there.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does they have, like, a total tonnage of liquid... What was it? Liquid meth?
Yeah, which they call ice.
Is there liquid meth?
Apparently there is.
I don't know. I don't take meth. I wouldn't know.
I thought you did. Look, you have the meth clip.
I know. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. No, in that song, I'm the dealer, not the... Come on, Rich.
Well...
Anyway, so how much tonnage of meth is this?
Four Chinese nationals, three of them from Hong Kong, have officially been charged with the role of the importation of 720 liters of liquid methamphetamine, which were hidden. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Were hidden inside gel bra inserts and art supplies.
Okay. That's I guess that's a good way to hide it. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, art supplies.
And boobies.
And boobies. Art
right,
supplies
right
and
with
boobies.
The bra.
We circle around like a boob.
Right.
A nice perfect circle. my God.
The drugs were seized at several locations in Sydney, including a shipping container that was sent from Hong Kong. This is definitely the largest seizure of liquid meth in Australia's history. The seizure was the result of a joint investigation between Australian authorities and the Chinese National Narcotics Control Commission.
Wow, what a catchy name.
Yeah, they need to shorten that.
Really?
crystal meth has been an epidemic since last year in Australia. And there has been a national task force to tackle the drug. Australia actually has one of the highest rates of drug usage in the world. So this is a big blow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is
I did not know that.
This is a big blow to drug dealers in Australia. And
oh, those poor drug dealers.
Yeah,
those
poor
really
drug dealers.
They're going to be struggling to get by.
Yeah. And lose. What? Here's something. What the hell do you do with all this confiscated liquid methamphetamine? This is a lot.
Do you destroy it?
This
do you hold it in evidence?
720 liters.
Which, by the way, is 190 gallons.
Yeah.
That's a lot of meth.
What do you do with it all?
I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about how much... So nobody can see this, but that water cooler over there, Rich, that's 5 gallons. So think about how many of those gallons... You know those big water coolers? I mean, I'm sure people have seen them, the office water coolers. Those are 5 gallon jugs.
Yeah.
So imagine how many of those does it take to make 190 gallons? It takes 38 of those. That's a lot of meth.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, what do they do with it?
Right, what do you do with it?
They take it. Away. Take it away. They don't just... No, and I mean, do they dump it into the ocean? Or is that illegal? What happens if you dump meth in the ocean?
The fish have a really good time.
I feel like that would only make Australia's wildlife even more dangerous. Could you imagine like a methed up like shark or crocodile or like a kangaroo or something? A methed up kangaroo? Wouldn't that be terrifying? Oh, man. I kind of want them to give it to animals now.
No, bad Mike. Bad Mike.
No, that'd be so much fun. You don't think so?
All right. Before you start having more wacky ideas, how about we get to our next story here?
Sure.
All right. We're going from drugs to stupid people. Why not?
Okay. A classic standard of the odd news.
And this one's in Wisconsin.
Good old Wisconsin.
Yep.
Cheeseheads, right?
Well, cheese is not the center of this one. Instead, it is alcohol.
Of course.
A Wisconsin man was convicted for his 10th charge of operating a vehicle while intoxicated. But what really makes this special is that when he was brought into the police station and asked why he was driving a vehicle for the 10th time drunk, he blamed it on beer battered fish.
I don't think that's possible.
Of beer battered fish.
Just an entire swimming pool filled with beer battered fish.
Boy, man.
It gets cooked off though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's not possible.
Unless you're eating it raw.
Just
oh, yeah.
Raw beer battered fish. Which you have bigger problems if you're eating raw fish with raw batter. I think you're dead at that point. You don't have to worry about the DUI.
76-year-old John Prisbala. Oh my God, what a name. Let me spell this out. Przybyla. There's literally no, there's only one vowel at the end.
We were talking about that earlier. Oh my God, Rich. He's like your long lost twin or something.
Prisbyla. Przybyla.
Is that his last name?
Yeah, that's his last name.
I can't even say it. Prisbyla? Whatever.
76-year-old John Prisbyla was arrested after a deputy noticed his truck cross the center line of a state highway. The deputy said that his breath smelled like alcohol, and he administered a field sobriety test that the suspect failed. Prisbyla denied drinking alcohol, but said that the only thing he had the whole day was beer-battered fish earlier in the evening.
Come on. Really?
Yeah, boy.
Also, how does he still have a license? How do you still have a license if that's your 10th time?
Wisconsin? I don't know.
Whatever happened to one strike, two strikes, three strikes, you're out? Wisconsin, they have like 12 strikes?
Prisbyla was found guilty of operating a vehicle while intoxicated, his 10th offense. No sentencing date has been set, but Prisbyla could face up to 12 and a half years in prison.
Yikes.
So that's a very expensive beer-battered fish, if that is the truth, but I highly doubt that.
I don't know how you still have a license, though, after 10 times.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like,
once you hit six, like, come on.
Six? You give them until six?
I mean, come on. Once you hit, when you're rounding closer to 10, then you're closer to zero. The line has to be drawn somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I feel like sometimes this country is way too strict with some things and way too lenient with others.
Yeah.
That's just my official analysis.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, I'm actually going to slow things down. You know, we were pretty hectic with drugs and drinking and everything.
Right.
I'm going to slow it down.
Okay.
And this previous weekend, we forgot, was Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
Lovely Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God.
And I have just a wonderful romance story that is appropriate for the odd news.
Okay, I love these romance stories.
I mean, this is gonna melt your heart.
Is this gonna be like the new like Titanic or something? It's like that moving. It's beautiful.
It's so beautiful. You're gonna wanna sit down.
So beautiful. Much romance.
Get your emotions in check because you might cry at just the beauty of this story.
I got the tissues ready.
Yep.
I'm ready to go, Rich. I'm ready to cry over the beautiful romance that is soon to be revealed.
Okay.
I love the music, by the way.
Well,
is that...
It's weird. Well,
it's got sound effects of crap. Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
All right. Well...
The waves. Every time the waves coming up, I'm just gonna laugh. Go ahead.
Well, together, These two people are just another happy couple that were getting ready to celebrate Valentine's Day. They just happened to fall in love while working together at the Venice Beach Freak Show.
Oh, okay. Were they the freaks?
And these aren't just two regular people. Oh, they are no. Two people that are featured in the freak show.
Oh, God. Okay. So, what were they? And that sounds wrong to say, what were they? What was their gimmick? What was their thing?
The man is known as Lobster Boy.
Oh, God. Honey, we're having lobster for Valentine's Day.
And the lucky lady is known as the bearded lady.
It's always the bearded lady.
Yeah. Well,
it's a match made in heaven right there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
When Lobster Boy and the bearded lady... when they're...
I'm going to pinch your beard all night long.
Well, when they're...
Does he have claws?
Well, when
Why
they're...
is he Lobster Boy?
Wait.
Lobster Man or Lobster Head. Remember that?
Oh, I know. Yeah. You're talking about Sheamus from WWE?
Lobster Head, yeah.
Well...
I'm sorry.
This might be his kid. I don't know.
This is his kid. Okay. Go ahead. Please continue.
Well, when the Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady's love affair heated up in the recent months... They began working more closely together at one of America's premier sideshows. Together, they now go on dates, and they watch movies together, eat sushi, and cuddle with each other.
Isn't that cannibalism? That's messed up, Rich! This is like a romance horror movie. Oh my God!
Only if they order the lobster roll.
They order, yeah.
If it's not, then they're cool.
They just
good.
Stay away from the shellfish, it's and they're
still
okay.
Good. Yeah, you're still good. Well, both of these, both Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady felt...
Every time you say their names.
They felt an immediate connection and the possibility for something deeper.
They have kids, they're just hairy lobsters. That's awful. That's so bad. What do they look like? You say Lobster Boy, what is he?
His hands look more like claws than fingers.
Oh, now I feel bad. It's still funny. I don't care.
Well, Todd Ray, who runs the Venice Beach Freak Show, claims that the two are a very good match. He says, quote, Jessa, who's the bearded lady, is a bubbly, happy, and nurturing person with a fun, devious side. She loves history, especially the Renaissance.
What is this? Is this like one of those personal things?
And he says the Lobster Boy, Grady, is nice, caring, and a good person. He loves to play video games and go to comic book conventions. Ray, who owns the Freak Show, says that the couple had a curious spark from the day that they met. First, it was flirting. But then it turned into something much more romantic. The two made it official over the weekend, right on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
It has a happy ending.
This is a romance for the ages.
Yep. The Lobster Boy says, quote, all it took was spending time with her. The more we're together, the more it feels right.
Oh,
so
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Happy, oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry, Rich. It's just so moving.
I know. A happy ending here in the Odd News, appropriate.
We never
for
have happy
Day.
Endings. Oh. Yeah. That was so beautiful.
I'm so happy for Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady.
Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady.
Godspeed, you two.
Oh. That's so beautiful. Is he gonna paint her like one of his ladies? Just Kate wins a huge furry.
his name is for Venice Beach Freak Show, let us know when the wedding is and
This could be a gimmick for them.
Yeah,
they could get married and have little hairy lobster children.
They gotta let us know when the honeymoon is and let us know the conclusion of this wonderful happy ending that these two had on Valentine's Day.
This is gonna be a movie.
Oh my gosh. This is a Lifetime movie right
here.
It
really is.
Oh man, I can't wait. Godspeed, you two. So there you go. Yeah, a Valentine's Day story for the odd news. Why not?
That was touching. Truly touching.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to regular odd news, if you will.
Just had that, like, tiny little brief respite of this amazingly beautiful story, and then back to drunk nude people.
Yeah, come on. That's the rare occasion in the odd news.
Yeah.
Let's get back to some regular odd news.
Get back to the regular odd news where people are being mean and crazy and weird.
It's time for Florida stories.
Ah, speaking of crazy,
yeah,
weird.
Speaking of crazy Florida, yeah, it's time for some Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And speaking of getting back to a topic, this is one that keeps popping up every now and then.
No.
It's back.
Who stuck something up where?
No, not that. But
it's bad that we have multiple topics that are recurring.
Yes.
Is it a samurai sword?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Come on.
A 22-year-old man clad in a bright red bucket hat.
Why not?
Went on a bizarre and violent crime spree in Lauderdale, Florida. Jovan Walker stole a vehicle, attacked an elderly man, then drove to a market and attacked a clerk with a samurai sword before he was taken into custody. I don't know where.
I don't know why. The two things that pop into my mind when you say Florida is somebody stuck something somewhere, or somebody has a samurai sword.
Yeah.
Why are those the two top things? Florida, get your stuff together.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Walker has been charged with attempted murder, aggravated battery, carjacking, aggravated assault.
Oh my God.
And possession of drugs.
Well, that would explain a lot.
Yeah.
Attempted murder? This is serious then, like.
Well, I mean, he charged with a samurai sword.
Yeah, that's true.
According to the police report, they received a call about an incident at a Shell gas station on Sunday morning and that an elderly man had been attacked. It also says in the police report that the defendant was shouting, "I need to fight a poltergeist! And I need to kill everything that's evil!"
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
He was on a mission, okay?
Yeah, at this Shell gas station.
Kill a poltergeist and everything that's evil. What was he on?
Yeah, man.
They say drugs. What type of drugs?
Well, the weird part is the drugs that they found on him was pot, so it can't be the pot.
I have never heard of pot making someone go on homicidal rampages.
Right, so it's not that. That will forever be a mystery, I guess.
I think he's got something going on upstairs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or that too.
I don't know what frame of mind you're in where you, like, take some drugs and you're like, that's it, I gotta go kill people.
Yeah.
Like, how do you make that jump? You know? Are you just sitting in your house and you're like, you know what? I think I need to kill some people.
It's time.
That'd be great. It's time, yeah. You're just sitting there staring at the wall. It's time.
An 81-year-old male and his wife were inside the store area of the Shell gas station, and while they were there, the suspect came walking into the store without saying a word, breaks into a display rack that has the samurai sword.
Wait.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yes. The gas station has the samurai sword. What gas station carries samurai swords?
I don't know quite what to say. Did they have a large selection of samurai swords?
You know,
was this like a product that they sold regularly? Samurai swords?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know.
Well, you know, some gas stations have Dunkin' Donuts in them. Yeah, some gas stations have martial arts weapons.
Yeah, you know, so, it's a long night. I have to get my gas, my coffee, and my samurai swords.
Of course. Of course.
Florida.
Florida. There you go.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Walker picked up the 3-foot samurai sword that was on display and started attacking a vendor. Surveillance video and audio.
Why would you just keep a sword out? And, like, I don't understand. Even if you're going to sell it, why don't make it easy for people to get it?
Surveillance video and audio shows onlookers screaming as the 49-year-old victim tried to fight Walker off. When the police got there, he was being held down and detained by other vendors. The motive is still unknown. The two victims were hospitalized.
What are you talking about? You told them to kill all that is evil.
but they have been released. So don't they worry. He gave them the motive. A-okay.
Well, I'm glad that people are okay. But he gave them the motive. He told them, I have to kill everything that's evil.
Yeah.
Put that in the police report. I didn't want to see the police officer write a crusader against evil forces.
All right.
A gas station.
Yeah, a gas station with a samurai sword. Why not?
Go figure.
Florida. Thank you.
You said it was a Shell gas station, too.
Yeah.
There's a Shell right here in Ambler.
Do they have samurai swords?
Not a single samurai sword in sight.
Damn it.
Lots of beef jerky. Dunkin' Donuts. That's all good. But doesn't have a samurai sword.
Well,
ooh, I should check the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, maybe they'll have
just it. In case, yeah.
All right, I got one more story for you for Florida and to wrap up the odd news for this week.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, and this also got some mainstream attention, so this is one I have to bring up as okay. well. And this actually happened in Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Florida man was arrested and charged with assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill after he was caught throwing an alligator through a fast food chain's drive-thru window. This is the most Florida story ever.
That's the most Florida story I've ever heard. Throwing an alligator. Oh, my God.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I love how the alligator, was it alligator or crocodile?
Alligator.
Alligator is classified as a deadly weapon.
Yep.
I've never thought of using an alligator as a weapon, but you can, you grab it by the tail and you can like swing it at people and it like latches on with its jaws. It's the best weapon ever. That's
amazing. For a drive-thru.
Especially for a drive-thru. Could you imagine working? That poor guy. Getting paid, what, $8 an hour? He's getting ready to hand over some food. Boom, alligator. Surprise! Alligator! How big was the alligator? Was it like a tiny... Okay.
24-year-old Joshua James threw a 3.5-foot alligator.
It's a big alligator.
Yeah, this isn't a
it's
little
It's not like
one.
A little tiny one. This is a sizable alligator.
Yeah, 3.5-foot alligator through a Wendy's drive-thru window.
The drive-thru person's like, I'm not getting paid enough for this job.
He was also charged with illegally possessing an alligator. Which,
well, there you go.
Wow. I can't believe that's
shocking.
That's specifically the charge. Go back a moment. Yeah. That's specifically a charge.
Illegally owning an alligator. I guess there's
illegally
so many of them.
Possessing an alligator.
I guess there's so many of them in Florida that you're not allowed to just, like, snatch them up and keep them.
He was also charged with petty theft.
I love like these two extreme charges and then petty theft.
Well, that's for the food, yeah. You know, how dare you try and get
away? Oh, he stole the food?
Yeah.
Oh, the alligator was payment.
Yes.
It wasn't assault, Rich. It's just a misunderstanding. In Florida, alligators are part of the currency. The exchange rate is like about $5, I think, per foot.
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Like if you owe $15, you give them a 3-foot alligator. That makes sense. It adds up now. I think that man should be set free.
The police report says that James drove his pickup truck to the window at 1 a.m. when an employee handed James his drink. He then when an employee handed James his drink, he then tossed an alligator right through the window and sped off.
Does nobody think it's weird? He's driving around with an alligator at 1:00 a.m.
No,
that's just Florida. That's normal.
It's normal for
that's
Florida.
Normal.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I'm really thirsty. I'm going to go to McDonald's. Let me get my alligator first.
Wendy's. All right.
Wendy's. What did I say? McDonald's.
No, this is Wendy's.
Sorry. Wendy's.
Maybe little Wendy will like the alligator.
Little Wendy. Yeah. Was the alligator in the car? Did he take the alligator with him? Because think about it, Rich. You're going out for some fast food, right? Did he plan the alligator thing? Like, did he grab it? Like, I'm going out to get dinner.
Oh, yeah, you'll get me some dinner tonight.
I want to know if he has a stash of alligators just for throwing in the drive-thru windows.
Luckily, no one was hurt. The alligator was captured and then released back into the wild.
That poor alligator.
Yeah. Boy, man, what an interesting night for that alligator.
I know.
James was finally tracked down through video surveillance and a purchase at a neighboring convenience store.
Where he bought a samurai sword. He
probably bought a samurai sword afterwards.
He has to replace the alligator.
James told police he had found the alligator on the side of the road and just decided it would look nice in his truck.
Are you... You're going to get a drink from Wendy's and you stop to pick up an alligator at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, it'll look good.
It'll look good. But then he threw it away.
He changed his mind.
He changed his mind. You know, now's the exact moment I'm going to change my mind and throw it not out the passenger window, but into the drive-thru window. BS. I'm calling BS. He had that alligator and he took it with him to the Wendy's. There's no way.
Maybe he thought it would look nicer in the Wendy's.
He's like, you know, I really like this alligator in the truck, but I think it would go really nice inside the Wendy's.
Yeah. I'm an interior decorator.
I specialize in alligator decorations. Just hanging them up instead of like drapes and stuff. It's Florida and they're crazy.
Oh my God.
Florida. So, I don't even know.
The police say that James faces a third degree felony charge for possessing, for illegally possessing an alligator. If he's convicted of that, that alone is 5 years in prison. Wow.
Wow.
They don't mess around.
No, they don't mess around in Florida when it comes to alligators.
So, I have to mention this.
Good God.
In a follow-up, James went to court on Tuesday, and as a result of his being released on bond, his conditions are, number one, he can't go to another Wendy's restaurant.
That was his main form of sustenance, though.
Two, he cannot possess any other animals besides his mother's dog.
Okay.
Three, he must undergo a mental health test.
That's fair.
And he cannot buy any more weapons. He was released on a $6,000 bond when he agreed to those terms and conditions.
I mean, normal people, that wouldn't be hard.
But it's Florida.
But in Florida, this guy is really going to struggle with that. It's Florida, and they're crazy. Bold prediction. We're going to get an update pretty soon, probably.
He got another alligator.
He got another alligator.
He went to McDonald's.
This time was a crocodile at the McDonald's.
Yeah, sure. That's
Are there crocodiles in Florida? I don't even know. What's the difference?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference are. Alligators and crocodiles.
If somebody knows the difference, let me know. At the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Hashtag crocodiles.
And hashtag DJ Big Mac.
DJ Big Mac.
Don't forget.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? Speaking of not forgetting, I think it's time we wrap up everything that we've learned on this episode with our segment, What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
I've learned that Florida uses alligators as currency.
Yeah.
Right. If you forgot your wallet but somehow remembered your alligator, you can always use... Ta-da! Surprise! Alligator! I'm eager to try out that currency system myself. Maybe I'll try that out at the gas station, where apparently they sell samurai swords now.
The Shell gas station.
Only Shell.
Only Shell.
Only Shell. So if you're looking for a samurai sword on the go to have with your breakfast sandwich and coffee...
I have to cut my breakfast sandwich.
Of course. And why use one of those dinky little plastic knives when you can use a 3-foot samurai sword?
Thinking.
Come on.
Logic.
Exactly. Logic. Logic, people. Oh, but this next thing that I learned was, unlike the others, it's not weird, but touching. I learned about Lobster Boy and the Bearded Lady.
Boy, that warmed my heart. I don't know about you.
It really does. It just gives me a warm spot right there. You know, thinking about these two in love so much, making little hairy lobster babies. Such a beautiful thing.
Happy ending.
Happy ending. We don't have many of those in the Odd News. Although, you could say this is pretty happy. We learned about the sequel to Phantom of the Opera, Phantom of the Philosopher.
Sure.
Featuring the hit song Masquerade, I Have No Idea Who I Am Anymore.
Yeah. He really thinks too much.
He really does. Yeah, it's a very thought-provoking musical.
Yeah.
If you want a less thought-provoking musical, check out The Phantom ... which is where The Phantom doesn't even show up.
Yeah.
It's the shortest musical ever.
That's
it's like
2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
That's it.
That's it. The overture, and then it's over. I also learned that I really test Rich's censorship skills here on the podcast.
Yeah.
So I apologize, buddy, for all that I put you through.
Thanks. Sorry.
And I also learned that we're saving all the world's problems one podcast at a time. That's what we do here.
Eventually we'll get to all the world's problems.
Eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And then it'll be a perfect place filled with people wielding samurai swords and paying for fast food with alligators.
Sure.
You're like, whatever.
There you go. That's what we have for you for whatever we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! Man, that was a crazy episode.
Oh, it was another good one. I had a blast.
You know,
between the fantasy football punishments.
Yeah.
And some of those odd news stories. And
the censorship
stuff. I mean, we really touched on all the bases.
And that's what we try to do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We try to give you the craziest tidbits of news that we think you should know and that you would get a kick out of learning on a podcast format. If you want to learn more about our crazy show and the things that we're up to and what we have planned, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and use the hashtag DJ Big Mac.
There you go. You can also subscribe to us, subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our interviews, best bits, and other fun stuff we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where you can listen to our mini noodles, which are the promos of the show, the best bits of the show that we condense into a 2 to 3 minute format that you can listen to on the go. You can share with friends and family and whoever else you want to, strangers.
If you have a special lobster boy or bearded lady in your life,
sure.
Make sure you share it with them.
Sure. Perfect.
Exactly. Oh, man. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters and
hashtag
let us know.
Hashtag Big Mac.
Yeah, hashtag DJ Big Mac.
DJ Big Mac.
Yeah.
Why not?
Get in the contact with him. And there you go. I think that'll wrap things up.
I think so.
For this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
What's the deal with the podcast? What's going on? It's just crazy. It's wild. It's the Crispy Noodle 2016. Oh my gosh.